your own pace. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE and leave your contact info for the staff to reach out to you. Also, Conservative Theological University is offering free your first introductory online Bible course. You only pay for your textbooks. CTU provides the rest. Go to conservative.edu for more info. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you, thank you, thank you again, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. Looking forward to your dialogue and discussion on a very, very urgently important subject or an issue. The Iran-Russia-China connection. What connects Iran and Russia and China? And I could go into other connectivities, but those are the 3 major connections I want us to understand, because it should be high on the profile in our understanding. And by the way, have you considered what I call the laughable element of this war in Iran, and now the one that's going to broker the peace, or that's offering the the space for peace to be discussed? It's Pakistan. Pakistan. Listen, I'm looking at headline, Pakistan allowed Iran to park its military aircraft on its airfields despite mediator rule in the conflict with the U.S. The article reads in part, as Pakistan positioned itself as the diplomatic conduit between Tehran and Washington, it quietly allowed Iranian military aircraft to park on its airfields, potentially shielding their airplanes from the American airstrikes, according to the U.S. officials with knowledge on the matter. Iran also sent civilian aircraft to park in the neighboring Afghanistan. The movements reflected an apparent effort to insulate some of Iran's remaining military and aviation assets from the expanding conflict, even as officials publicly served as brokers for de-escalation. On Tuesday, the Minister of Foreign Affairs, in a statement, confirmed Iranian planes were in their country. According to the Afghan Civil Aviation Officer, an Iranian civil aircraft belonging to the air group landed in Kabul shortly before the war started. After Iranian airspace was closed, the aircraft remained parked in the Kabul airport. Pakistan's reliance on China. Listen to this. Pakistan's reliance on China for military assistance has risen dramatically over the past decade. Now, here's the picture. We're dealing with Iran. Iran is in talks with America for, quote, a peace agreement to settle the conflict. Who's handling that as the mediator? Pakistan. Who's Pakistan in bed with? Who's Pakistan controlled by? None other than China. The article says Pakistan's reliance on China for military assistance has risen dramatically in the past decade. Study shows China supplied about 80% of Pakistan's major arms between 20 and 2024. And Islamabad also has close economic ties with Beijing. China, Iran's most powerful international backer. China, which has depended militarily and economic cooperation with both Pakistan and Iran in recent years, has publicly celebrated Pakistan's role in facilitating indirect communications between Tehran and Washington. Ladies and gentlemen, the enemy is part of the enemy, is part of the enemy that's now supposed to be our friend and helping to negotiate the peace, and that's Pakistan. And Pakistan is a puppet for China. And here is Iran and America in talks with a middleman being Pakistan, Afghanistan, and China, if you will. Why is it that China is able to come in and tell Iran what to do? Why is it that China is able to come in and give Iran advice and direction around how they need to settle this conflict? Why is it that China and Russia is wanting to do that? That's the key to the element in our discussion today. I believe Derby's on the line. Derby, go over the question or comment, please.
Commend you, Dr. Youngblood, for whenever you refer to Democrats, you say they are socialist, Marxist, communist. Well, I like that, but I would like to amend your labeling.
Okay.
To that, I would like to add also anti-American, anti-Christian.
Oh, absolutely.
And that is what I challenge every Republican in Jacksonville, around the U.S., to refer to Democrats as what they are, which is communist, socialist, Marxist, anti-American, and anti-Christian.
Absolutely. This is the reason, in fact, just as late as yesterday, Derby, I said in part almost the same thing. My question has always been, and as you know, right here in Jacksonville, the fish wrapper called the Times Union and the Marxist media called Channel 4 jumped all over me when I put on the marquee out in front of the church. Can a Democrat be a Christian? Can a Democrat be an American citizen? And you would have thought I'd shot the president. The Marxist media, the fish wrapper here in our city, jumped all over it to look at me and look at the bad statements I'm making. This is too harsh, calling, saying the Democrats can't. I believe, Derby, and for our listeners to hear me and to hear me well, I believe it is 100% impossible for a person that says, I'm a Democrat, and as a Democrat, I stand for the transgenderism. I stand for the LGBTQ sodomite agenda. I stand for murder by way of abortion. And I'm also a Christian. It's an impossibility. It is an oxymoron. It's antithetical to anything that's called Christianity. And with that being said, as you said, they're anti-American. I believe it's an impossibility, impossible, for a person to say, I'm a Democrat. And I love America, and I stand for our Constitution. Everything they do, everything they say, speaking of the Democrats, are all antithetical to our Constitution, from the four corners of the Constitution, from top to bottom. They are absolutely running awry against our Constitution, against our Bill of Rights. They protect the enemy more than they protect American citizens. This is the reason we're having rape, robbery, and mayhem today in America, because the Islamic invaders and for the illegal invaders coming in and the Democrats embracing them and currying them for votes to keep being reelected. You're exactly right, Derby. Thank you for that clarification.
I would like to make a clarification. The name of the party is the Democrat Party, not the Democratic Party. Democratic is an adjective, mm-hmm. and the Democrats, that's a noun.
Amen.
So it's the Democrat Party.
I agree.
And also, last night I attended a meeting of the Republican Liberty Caucus, and there were four candidates for the school board, and they were asked about the teachers' union, their opinion on it. And not a single one of them acknowledged that the teachers' union is communist-controlled, anti-American, anti-Christian, woke. So if they don't know that, why should we vote for them anyway? They seem like nice people, but they are not well-informed as to the union they are bargaining with.
Well, Derby, what I have found so often, even in our city and across the nation, well-meaning, well-desired mothers, generally speaking, because they're concerned about the kids, they're concerned about the welfare of the child in the school, they want to run for the school boards to protect their child. but most, M-O-S-T, most of them do have no earthly idea what these governmentally controlled schools are doing and rotting the brains, the morals, and the ethics of our kids. So how could we expect them to know anything about the teachers' unions? In fact, you go back and you study, all unions, the beginning of unions in America, were out of the U.S. Communist Party, American Communist Party. And it was designed to control the worker and the manufacturing plants or the businesses to control it. And that was the whole purpose and design. In fact, the teachers' union in America is probably the most wretched, horrible union system that you could find. The teachers' union in America simply is designed to gather money from the teachers, from the teachers paying in, for it to be paid then for support of people like Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, et cetera, et cetera. So it goes back to what I've said for 50 years. We need to abolish the U.S. Department of Education. We need to go back and remove what Jimmy Carter put in place. Donald Trump started the process of abolishing and dismantling U.S. Department of Education, and some idiot judge with a black robe on, controlling the Oval Office, controlling the presidential powers, filed a lawsuit, gave an injunction, but somebody filing a lawsuit that has blocked that being done. Right today, at this very moment, had Trump had the freedom to do so, we would no longer have a U.S. Department of Education. He had already signed the executive order. He had already told the head of the Department of Education, Secretary of Education, to start dismantling it. And he was blocked, has been blocked, since he went into office. Most people are not aware of that. We need to dismantle and remove the U.S. Department of Education. It is the most damaging thing that could happen in America. And getting back to the local level, if a person running for the school board does not have the integrity, the knowledge, the insight, the wisdom to stand up, speak up against the teachers' union, there needs to be a no vote. Simple as that.
Yeah, but all of them say, oh, I'm a conservative Republican. Then you're a very uninformed conservative Republican.
That's the problem we've got with people like John Thune as the head of the Senate in D.C. today. That's the reason we have problems today trying to get the SAVE Act passed. That's the reason we have blockage in the House and the Senate when it comes to the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democrat Party and what they're doing. So it demands, this reason I've said for months and months and months now, every Christian needs to vet the candidate and then vote for the candidate that has the strict requirements being met for a candidate that we'll vote for as Christians, conservatives, and patriots. Derby, it demands our prayer. Demands our insight. We need to keep looking up and realize that the days are short. The time is running out rapidly for Christians to be salt and light as we need to be. Thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. I believe Brother Davis is on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Yeah, Dr. Youngwood, you know you're exactly right. And these countries that you've named and others that you haven't yet, let's go back to the grass root of the whole thing. God promised Ishmael that he would make him a father of many nations, and they would be wild men. Yep. Every one of the leaders in these nations that were coming up again are wild. They got, I mean, they're terrible. So we're just reaping what the Bible's already told us, like you say, thousands of years ago when it was written. That we're going to face these things in the last days. These are all descendants from Ishmael, and I believe the ones the United States is siding with them must be first cousins.
I believe you're exactly right. In fact, you're quoting or saying, referring to Genesis 16, verse 12, speaking of Ishmael, and he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And, Brother Davis, here's the thing that I see that I'm wanting our listeners to understand. It's the reason I'm so dogmatic about looking at events, locally, state, national, international, and global, through the prism of the Word of God. You go back to the Scripture and you find that Iran today is the old Persia. Old Persia has always been against the apple of God's eye. All the Jewish people are in the target of old Persia. In fact, it was through the leader of Ahasuerus that issued a decree for a certain day at a certain time for all Jews to be killed. That was carried out by Haman, And Haman was able to trick the king into doing that. He signed the decree, Medes and the Persians, and certain day at a certain time. But thankfully, God divinely intervened, and in his providence, he put Queen Esther in the place that Mordecai, her uncle, knew what was taking place, told her. She was able to persuade the king, and I'm making a short, long story short, and then the king issued a new decree, according to Esther chapter 8, verse 9 and following, issued a new decree that said to the Jewish people, when they come to slay you, stand up, kill them before they kill you. That's a super, super good element there of the right of self-defense. And that's what took place. But the point that I'm making, Brother Davis, is that these old Persians, the Iranians today, the mullahs today, the jihadists today, their goal is to kill every Jew on the face of the globe. And because America stands with the Jewish nation, Israel, then we are the great Satan, Israel is the little Satan, and the whole goal is to destroy the Christian and the Jews. That hadn't changed. The Jewish people celebrates today, according to their celebration calendar, the day of Purim, P-U-R-I-M, and that was the day that they celebrated when they were able to be delivered from the hand of the enemy. So I'm thankful that God's still on the throne. But Brother Davis, one thing I'll run by and get your take on it. Give us a short answer from your perspective. Why is it that this moment China and Russia want to come to the table, want Iran to come to the table for peace? Why is it that next week, I believe it is, Trump will meet with Putin? This week he's meeting with President Xi from China. And according to my research, their major conversation, how can we get the oil flowing from Iran back to China and to Russia? So what do you think is the key that the Chinese and the Russians have that's going to unlock the peace treaty with Iran?
Well, I believe because they are Islamic controlled, and you got to think about this. He said that their rules, and they're coming in sheath clothing, and if they can disguise themselves enough to make us fall for that idiotic stuff that they're presenting, then they have a chance of doing that. But just remember, they're wolves in sheep's clothing, and we cannot trust them. I wouldn't trust them with a 10 cents.
Absolutely. The bottom line is Russia and China, as well as Iran and others, are our enemy. And here we are with the enemies of America. Russia and China would both love to see America fold tomorrow. Here are enemies that supposedly now will be working with President Trump to bring about a negotiated peace out of Iran. In fact, I've got articles before me, six or eight articles, about China and Russia now. China and Russia wanting to have peace in Iran. And that's the reason just a week ago, Putin said that the war in Ukraine can be over in a few days. He has already determined that the only way to get the oil flowing again is to get the spigot turned back on in Iran. And the only way that could be done is to push Iran. In fact, China and Russia, you can bet your boots at this very moment, China and Russia both already told the mullahs in Iran, you better sit up, stand up, speak up, take notice, and sign the dotted line, or we're going to cut off everything we're doing for you. In fact, most people are not aware of the fact that with Russia, the drones that Russia were flying over and destroying lives in Ukraine were made in Iran. The oil that's used for the machinery in China and Russia came out of Iran. And right now, because the Iranian oil being shut off, it's shutting down the war of Russia against Ukraine. And by the way, I don't believe that was just a happenstance. I believe it's divinely orchestrated. I believe that God supernaturally, divinely intervened, put it into the mind of Trump. And Trump probably, my opinion, Trump probably has not seen from beginning to end what he's doing. He is absolutely helping to set the chessmen on the board, prophetically speaking, of what God's word tells us will happen in the last days. And so I get excited about that. Brother Davis, amen.
And it says that everybody be hollering, peace, peace, peace. He said, but there'll be no peace. And that's not going to happen until Christ comes back.
Amen. That's exactly right. In fact, I'll put a little capstone on that, footnote to that. There will be peace in Iran pretty soon. After
right.
Trump's met with Russia and China, in my opinion, I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but it is my opinion, within a 10-day period of time after China and Russia leadership's met with President Trump, there will be a peace agreement signed, but it will not be a lasting peace because Iran will still be old Persia that will be alive and well, according to Ezekiel 38 and 39. It will be part of the battle, the five nations coming against Israel being led by China by Russia. In the last days. So, Brother Davis, it demands our prayer. I challenge our listeners always keep looking up. Our redemption draws nigh. Thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. I believe it is laughable, by the way, to have Pakistan supposedly as the mediator that's the conduit for the peace treaty being sought after between America and Iran, because Pakistan's up to their ears. Pakistan has nuclear weapons. Pakistan is against America. Pakistan, with the mullahs, hate America, hate the Jewish people. It just so happens that they're a different breed of the Islamics. They're the Sunnis, not the Shiites. Iran's the Shiite sect of Islam. And between the Wahhabists and the Shiites and the Sunnis, they hate each other. That's the reason, by the way, just a little side note, that we were never able to negotiate anything. There was a real peace element in the nation of Iraq, because Iraq could only come to total peace if they're divided into three nations with the Sunnis, the Wahhabists, and the Shiites, because they hate each other. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. I'm looking at a headline. It says, U.S.-Iran talks. Listen to this. This is a headline. U.S.-Iran talks seemingly are hinging on Trump's President Xi's meeting. U.S.-Iran talks are unlikely to make... Listen, U.S.-Iran talks are unlikely to make significant progress before President Donald Trump meets with Chinese President Xi later this week. The source said the movement in the talks would depend on the results of President Trump's visit to Beijing. Listen, the source said movement in peace talks would depend on the results of President Trump's visit to China this week. The report said Egypt and Saudi Arabia are among the countries facilitating back-channel dialogue between the United States and Iran, mediated by Pakistan. I like those back channels. The back channels being Saudi Arabia and Egypt handling the back-channel conversations. Quote, China is going to be an important player in ensuring, hear me, this writer says China is going to be an important player in ensuring that the dialogue continues between Iran and America. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we're witnessing today that back channel, that conversation between President Trump and President Xi and President Putin of China and Russia. Those are the big boys. Those are the two nations that control just about all of the Middle East, by the way. It's the monies and the road building and the bridge building and the dam building that's taking place in all of the Middle East being paid for by China. China has just about bought, paid for, and controlled most of the Middle East. And right now it's China and Russia that has the most to lose if there is not a peace agreement in Iran. Here's a headline. Putin hints at ending Russia's war in Ukraine. But the question is why? That was my question also. Vladimir Putin has signaled that his country's war with Ukraine may be coming to an end soon. Speaking at the Victory Day events in Moscow, Putin said on Sunday, that was this Sunday now, that he was ready to hold direct talks with Ukrainian counterpart Volodymyr Zelensky in Moscow or at any neutral country. The remarks also reflected mounting pressure on both sides after more than 4 years of the war that's devastated parts of Ukraine and sustained and strained Russia's economy. Quote, I think that the matter is coming to an end, Putin told reporters of the Ukrainian-Russian war. Europe's deadliest conflict since World War II is coming to an end. Words of President Putin out of Russia. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Putin has already expressed openly wanting the meetings. Here's an article that gives a few points that I think we need to latch on to and understand. As of May 10th and 11th, 2026, Vladimir Putin has expressed openness to meeting with the Ukrainian president and a neutral third country, suggesting the four-year war is nearing an end. You've not heard that from Putin before. You've not heard that from anything that says that they're controlling, in control of Russia. Here's the point in three or four points that's brought out in this article. Conditional meetings with Zelensky. Putin noted he is ready for a direct meeting with Zelensky. Second point, negotiation stance and mediators. Putin indicated a willingness to discuss new security arrangements for Europe. Third point, Victory Day signaling. Following the scaled-back Victory Day parade in Moscow, Putin stated he believes the conflict against Ukraine is coming to an end. Fourth point, three-day ceasefire. He says the temporary three-day ceasefire was established around 9th, 10th, and 11th of 2026, involving a 1,000-person prison, involving a 1,000-person-prison exchange. That didn't hit the headlines. Who publicized that 1,000 prisoners on each side of the line in Russia and Ukraine had been exchanged? That just took place. Fifth point, Western skepticism. U.S. officials expressed skepticism regarding Russia's intentions. I would be skeptical, too. Why is Russia involved? Why is Russia interested? Why is it that we see in Ezekiel 38 and 39, Russia leading the battle against the nation of Israel? It's because at this very moment, Russia has vested interest in all of the Middle East. Russia, right at this very moment, Russia has warships in the ports in Syria. At this very moment, Russia has weapons and other things of war in all the parts of the Middle East, if you please, decked and ready and prepared for anything that would break out that they could control. Russia is a major player in the last days. China is a major player in the last days. And ladies and gentlemen, when you look at the biblical context of old Persia, which is today's Iran, Persia is directly named in the Old Testament several times, in the book of Daniel, in Ezra, and Nehemiah, and Esther, and 2 Chronicles. It's called Elam, was the ancient kingdom that is in the southwestern part of Iran today. They were called the Elamites in Acts chapter 2, verse 29. But ladies and gentlemen, the key is, I close with this, in Jeremiah 49:35, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will break the bow of Elam, that's Iran today, the chief of their might, Jeremiah 49:35. It's the clearest prophecy we see in the scripture where God tells us what he's going to do. And that'll take place in the war with Russia in Ezekiel 38:39, where every nation that comes together against Israel will be destroyed by the intervention of God. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800